Log Talk Radio.
Yes, I'm ready for it. You ready?
Here we are, son. Here we are, son. Here we are, son.
We want it.
Here we are, son.
Hey,
we hungry.
Situation where the West Indies did extremely well in that warm-up game against New Zealand. Listen to this, 421, and New Zealand replied to 330. So 751 runs scored. Well, well, well. And you can imagine, given the conditions in England, what's going to be happening as far as those big runs are concerned. I rather suspect that perhaps before the end of the World Cup, a team may even make 500. I mean, a lot of runs have been scored, and maybe I could ask Phil Watson a bit later on as to some of the reasons why so many runs have been scored in ODI cricket. Of course, when people like Andy Roberts and Michael Holden and company played, they will tell you that once they had to bowl at 250 runs or so, it was a foregone conclusion for them. Nowadays, you're not even comfortable with making 300 runs. In other news, I understand that the itinerary for the India-West Indies series is going to be out very soon, but I'm told that there are going to be two test matches, one in Antigua, one in Jamaica, two T20s in Florida. Guyana will get a T20 and an ODI, and my understanding is that Trinidad and Tobago will be getting two ODIs. So none for Barbados. And I know there was some talk that Dominica might have gotten a game, but from my understanding, that is not the situation. So Antigua will get a test match. Of course, this is unconfirmed. Jamaica, they are also supposed to get a test match as well. In terms of Florida, two T20s. Guyana will get a ODI and a T20, and I'm told that Trinidad and Tobago will be getting two ODI matches. So that is to be confirmed, of course, by Cricket West Indies. But of course, the big story today, West Indies up against New Zealand. What a performance by the West Indies. Can you imagine that you make 330 runs and you still lose by pretty close to 100? In fact, the West Indies won by 91 runs. Gale got 36. Lewis got 50. A good start for them. Shea Hope continuing to really have a proper patch. 101. Tremendous performance from him. Darren Belver got run out. 25. Hetmyer got 27. Jason Nolan, the captain, he made 47. And listen to this. Andrew Russell, 54 from just 25 balls. Well, there's made his 7 sixes. And this really was a tremendous performance from him. And in fact, 7 fours and 3 sixes. Brassick got 24 towards the end. Ashley Nurse, you can't keep this man out. The man from St. John, 21, 421 to the West Indies in 49 overs and 2 balls. And when it was a turn of New Zealand, well, they made 330, and they were all out in 47 overs and 2 balls. And of course, we want to look at Blundell. He got 106. And in terms of other batsmen, Ken Williamson, the captain, made 85. And towards the end, so he got 39. But a good performance by the West Indies. I think it's of great importance to read the bowling figures for you. And no doubt we'll be getting an assessment from Philo and Dr. Ford, who have, in fact, joined me in the studios. Now, Cottrell, 3 overs, no winners, 1 for 16. Holder, 8 overs, no winners, none for 47. Roach, 5 overs, 1 bin, 1 for 18. Oshin Thomas, listen to this. 6 overs, no winners, 1 for 66, going to the 11. Carlos Brathwaite, 9 overs, no winners, 3 for 75, going at 8.33. Fabian Allen, 6 overs and 2 balls, no winners, 2 for 47. Mind you, he hasn't bowled a lot for the West Indies. And Ashley Nursey, off spinner, 10 overs, no winners, 1 for 60, going at 6. Now, Phil, you've had a chance to assess this. 421 to the West Indies in response in terms of New Zealand 330. Your assessment. Good evening to you, Phil.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to our listeners. Well, 421 runs in 49.2 over this next night piece. Obviously, West Indies found their straps. And they showcase what they're all about, power hitting. And obviously, big total. Shea Hope continues, as you said, to be in a purple patch. I think he's in tremendous form. And I would like to ask him if he's cool. You know, he's batting wonderfully well. He's stroking the ball to all parts of the field with confidence. And obviously, runs will do that. Evan Lewis continues to lend that good support at the top of the order to Chris Gayle. And obviously, Russell brings the muscle in the bottom, which is expected. He obviously, Carlos Braffitt as well, Jason Holder, chipped in with some runs. And it's good to see Darren Bravo getting some. It's only yesterday I was in a meeting with Sarwan, actually, and he was saying that, you know, Bravo, you know, was hitting the ball so nicely before he left the Caribbean. But the only way he can get confidence is by scoring runs, and he, Bravo himself, have to do that. So I'm happy for Darren. 25 might sound like a little small, but at the end of the day, it's a start for him, and it's good that he can, obviously, just before the World Cup actually starts, get some. So that the batsman obviously delivered, Hetmyer continues to show that he has that, those brilliance, but then obviously he again have to also realize that it's more than just being flamboyant. It's a 50-over game, but I think it was a good batting performance today from West Indies. The team, obviously, interim head coach Reef will be very happy to see that the guys have actually fired really well against a New Zealand side that obviously a lot of people believe are dark horses to win this 2019 ICC World Cup in England and Wales. So congratulations to them. I know it's just a warm-up game, but at the end of the day, it's a victory just before the actual start of that World Cup. Bowling, Andrew, obviously, still a little a problem. I think there are problems in that bowling camp, not being consistent enough. 330 runs, you know, and when you look at Thomas bowling 6 of 66, that would have been a headache for the coaching staff. But obviously, to roll over New Zealand to actually bowl them out was a very, very good effort there at Bristol. So all in all, that was a good performance by the West Indies. And obviously now they set their sights on that first game, a very important game against Pakistan.
Dr. Ford, your assessment?
Yeah, we had a good day batting today. That's the type of innings we'd like to play, with strong contributions at the top. And having Russell coming in with a maximum of 20, maybe 15 overs, so that he can express himself in a shorter format of time, that's good for him. And he fired. The all-rounders chipped in, Brathwaite, and also the captain. So a very strong batting performance. And in the field, we still have some work to do. We missed an easy run out today. And the fielding, a few missed fields. We have to be a little tighter in the field. The bowling was decent. The main bowlers that we expect to start in the 11, Holder, Roach, Cottrell, Ashley Nurse, didn't bowl that badly. Carlos Braffitt got wickets, but with you know, some runs being knocked off of him, but he did get some wickets. So, you know, it's the type of win that we did get, but that we wanted, but I don't think that New Zealand really had their heart into it completely today. They were a little lackluster in the field, and we did mention Thomas bowled a bit too full, or if he wasn't full, he was short. But the few good balls he bowled did look good. So they did mention that Gabriel wasn't 100% fit. And so it doesn't look like Gabriel, unless he can recover quickly, will make that first match. But it's good to have a victory before the start of the tournament. And the guys seem to be in really good spirits. And, you know, we wish them luck.
Now, I've got a question to you, Philo, before we make our first connection. In terms of the team that was paid today, that 11, you think that will be the starting 11, Philo? What do you think? Talk to me.
Well, obviously, there's no Shannon Gear because of injury, so this could be close to that starting 11. I'm happy to see Nicholas Buran as the backup in this 11. Carlos Braffitt, again, I find that, you know, once Russell is around, Carlos Bradford seems to up the ante.
Yes.
So
competition is there, fellow.
Yeah, it's there. Yeah. That's what you want. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at it, this could be the starting 11. Yes, because unless. I don't know.
You don't know. Think about it. Think about it, fellow.
I won't go in with so many CMB.
No,
voters.
Yeah, indeed.
There might be one change.
You want
change?
Fabian and Cashley.
Cottrell will play and Puran probably won't.
But I wouldn't rule out Fabian Allen.
No, because
of that flat nature.
Yeah, indeed. But of course, a little bit later on the show, as we're going to make our first connection, we're actually going to be going to England now. And speak to Johnny Boran, who has been with us, of course, for the last couple of weeks. And we also have our CEO, Mr. Johnny Grave, who's up there as well. And, of course, a little bit later on, we want to make another connection with Clive Lloyd. We come back to the Caribbean and talk to Derek Murray and company. But let's first of all say hello to Johnny. How are you, Johnny? In fact, we've got Johnny Boran and Johnny Grave. So let's say hello to you, Johnny Grave, first of all. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Andrew.
Good, okay. And Johnny Boran is very much with us as well. Has he dropped out? Well, I think he has. We're going to try and get him back. Johnny Gray, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, it's a fantastic day today and good performance by the team. And I think they're all leaving here in Bristol full of confidence and really looking forward to the World Cup starting in Nottingham on Friday.
Indeed. Now, talk to us, Johnny Grave, about the whole question of the World Cup. What would it mean to the West Indies financially if you had to win this thing? Must mean a lot, I would imagine.
It doesn't mean a lot to us in the short term. The ICC monies are set per year all the way out till 2020, and the prize money and offers is shared by the players and the team management. So in the very, very short term, very little at all. But I think in terms of the general feel-good factor within West Indies cricket, looking forward to a big series against India in August, I think it would mean an enormous amount to every cricket fan in the Caribbean.
Yes. Now, the side, of course, preparing for the first game against Pakistan come Friday. Some concern, though, that in the preliminary matches, no games for where the West Indies are in London. That must be a little bit of a disappointment to many West Indians.
Yeah, lots of people here talking about that, saying that we're not playing in London. And obviously, we remind them that the final's in London. So we very much hope to be playing in London in this World Cup. But, as it stands at the moment, for whatever reason, we've not been scheduled to get to London in these matches, which not playing in the Oval is slightly strange.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we now got Johnny Boran back. Hello, Johnny.
Oh, Andrew, good evening. Hello.
Good. Now we got, of course, our CEO on the line as well. Let's talk quickly about the game today. What a performance by the West Indies. Runs.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, Bristol, as we know, is a fairly small ground. But, I mean, what a destructive effort by the West Indies today. I mean, actually, a lot of the scores across these warm-ups haven't been significant. So 421 against New Zealand, who are... they're not necessarily a dark horse, but they're very strong in English conditions. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible, incredible score. And the fact they've got runs all the way down the order and that hitting by Andre Russell today was quite spectacular.
Indeed. Johnny, any concerns in the West Indies camp as they travel for the first game against Pakistan?
Well,
of course, this is for Johnny Grave now. this is for Johnny Grave now. Any concerns, Johnny Grave?
No, Andrew. I think, the players have had a decent warm-up period. The first, obviously, game here in Bristol was rain-affected, but I think some of the players, certainly the bowlers, welcomed a bit of rest, and everyone got a good run out today. I think the squad are going to Trebridge full of confidence and really looking forward to this World Cup. And the fact that we get a big break after our first game, I think we've got a six-day break before we play
right.
Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be welcomed by our fast bowlers. And I think all the teams will be having to manage workloads and trying to keep the 11 that take the field as fresh and as in good physical condition as they can be. But certainly in terms of the excitement, the anticipation, the feel-good factor, I certainly sensed that yesterday with the squad when I met with them, and they definitely delivered on the pitch today, and I hope that they can do that when the matches that count start on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Now, John Buran, in terms of England now, we're going to certainly fast forward. Your first game is against South Africa come Thursday. Now, don't you looking forward to that big one, if it is a big one?
Yeah, I mean, I think all the games are big, aren't they? Because I think even though it's a round robin, everybody plays each other, if you get off to a slow start, it can be quite a long way back. And I think England are highly fancied. I think playing South Africa, one of their stronger venues as well, playing in London. But South Africa, I mean, they're perennial dark horses. They've never really performed in World Cups. They tend to do quite well in the years in the build-up to it. But their record, actually, the South Africa record against top six sides, I think they've got 25 wins and 19 losses. So it's not spectacular by any stretch of the imagination. And they've got some injury concerns going into that with the likes of Dale Steyn, who's probably not really fit for the first couple of games. They're going to be reliant on the likes of sort of Quinton de Kock and Pastor Bussy and David Miller. But it'd be really interesting to see how it goes. I mean, from an England point of view, they had a bit of a, you know, they made a bit of a mess of proceedings against Australia. They obviously demolished Afghanistan yesterday. They were likely to put a performance like that together. They weren't on their best form against Australia, who I think are coming in some form into this tournament on Saturday. But they're going to be a strong side. There'll still be some permutations, I think, on that side. I mean, I'm not absolutely convinced I know what that 11 is. I have a hunch. Mm-hmm. But England will be highly fancied.
One would think so as well. Johnny Grave, now, from the point of view of hype in England, I would imagine that all over England, this is all World Cup cricket 2019 in terms of hype. Johnny Grave?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everywhere that I've gone, I landed into London on the weekend and came down to Bristol. You know, there's World Cup fever, definitely. There's lots of banners and posters. There's ticket sales from talking to the ICC today are extremely strong, forecasting all matches to be sold out.
Really?
So I think that would be kind of unprecedented. So I think there's certainly a big buzz around the place. Clearly, Johnny's been here for the whole build-up and can speak much more to that. But certainly from what I've seen here in Bristol and my initial thoughts of what I saw in London and what I hear about, I think everyone's looking forward to it in the World Cup, despite what people say about the format with only 10 teams being involved. You know, it's going to be a real sort of battle to get to the semi-finals. And I think once you get to the semi-finals, you know, it's a cliche, I know, but anyone can win it from there. And we've seen that. You know, we've beaten India in India at the back end of the year. We obviously beat England, the favourites, in the Caribbean. So it proves that your world rankings when it comes to a World Cup, you know, yes, they're a form guide, but that's all they are. When it comes to the games, it's going to be who can perform and deliver on the big stage when the world's watching, when the pressure's on, and then you somehow got to get to the semi-finals and then you just got to get across the line.
Johnny Grizz, good evening. Phil Wallace here. I just want to ask a question. Just aside, the players have been away for a little while, those particularly who went to Ireland. They've been joined by the guys who were the IPL just a couple of weeks ago. The World Cup is going to be a pretty long campaign, 6 weeks. How are they dealing? How are they going to be dealing with this length of time away from home? It's okay to say they're playing well, everybody's talking to each other, but the length of time away from home, how are they managing that? And obviously, what is Cricket West Indies going to be doing to help these guys to stay as a unit?
Well, I think, Phil, I think there's certainly those that were in Ireland are enjoying Bristol, balmy Bristol compared to the cold of Ireland, and they're enjoying these few extra degrees of warmth, certainly. I think the IPL players, having that week at home, obviously it's a long way to travel, but there was discussion about whether IPL players should come immediately to the UK, having had 2 months away. But I think we made the correct decision, having spoken to them individually, but having just that short period of a week back in the Caribbean to see family and friends, to sort of get over the time in India and spend some time with their families before heading back to the UK, I think was really important. And certainly the guys that went to Ireland still seem very fresh. I think, you know, Shea Hope is just in unbelievable form. So I think, you know, players' wives and girlfriends and families will be joining them for little blocks of time during the World Cup. But yeah, I don't think that's going to be a problem in the short term, anyway.
Johnny Moran, if he come back, do you know that England game against South Africa, of course, it starts on Thursday. You were suggesting that you may know the final 11. Can you share that with us?
Well, I mean, the players that picked themselves are obviously the skipper Morgan, Jason Roy, Johnny Bairstow, Joe Root, Josh Butler, Ben Stokes, Mern Ali, Adil Rashid, and Liam Plunkett, probably because he's highly fancied by the England skipper, Mark Wood as well. And I think it'll be a two-way shootout between Jofra Archer and Chris Wokes, possibly with Mark Wood in that permutation as well. All the indicators are is that Archer's got every chance of starting in this competition. Chris Wokes has a problem of keeping on the park on a regular basis. He played just as a batsman against Australia, but did get a lot of wickets against Pakistan in the final game. So there's still some permutations for the selectors to think about. And I guess the other thing is that Mark Wood has only just come through a fitness test. He pulled up slightly late. Well, actually, half the squad did, as you may or may not have seen against Australia. Paul Collingwood, who ended up fielding out as 12th man on Saturday. And I think even Trevor Bayliss might have had a run out at one stage because like emergency ward 10 at one stage. But I think those are the permutations. Mark Wood may be the one to miss out if they're looking to protect him in the longer term across this competition. But could be very interesting.
If he's fit, you think Archer may not make it? I thought he was an automatic selection.
Yeah, I mean, that's my feeling, is that I think Archer is the man to play because he is fit. He'll stay on the park. He's got no real history of niggles, unlike a lot of the other bowling lineup do have. You know, Liam Plunkett, I think, is certain to start, even though he might be the one that people feel as the tournament progresses might be one to miss out. Mm-hmm. But I think if I was the skipper inside the England management, Archer would definitely start for me. But there is a possibility they might go with Wokes and they might go with Wood. But Wood may well give way to Archer. So there's kind of, I guess, three from four in there that are likely to start against South Africa.
If it may be a bit difficult for you, Johnny Moran, but if you were to choose three batsmen, three bowlers, you know, three fast bowlers, three spinners, that will feature heavily in the tournament, who would be your selections?
Good question. Well, I think Rashid Khan from Afghanistan is going to be one of the standout players. Mm-hmm. I think from a spinner point of view also, I think Imran Tahir, off the back of his incredible IPL tournament for South Africa, I think will feature strongly. And Adil Rashid is an incredible spinner for England and arguably the first player on the team sheet for England. I think Rashid is very, very strong in home conditions. Maybe my three picks as far as spinners are concerned. Batsman, I think Jason Roy is the man to watch.
Right.
I think Chris Gayle, if he can build on his performance in the winter, would be quite incredible. Others to look out for. It's tough. There are so many potential competitors in this tournament. Hitmyer again from the West Indies might be a player to have a storming tournament. Mm-hmm. From a bowling point of view, I think pace. From a fast bowling point of view, I think the paceman will have a real bearing. And again, that's why Archer might well be a strong competitor. The fact that Dale Steyn was bowling up to 94 in the IPL, 94 mph, the only problem is he may well miss the first couple of games. But yeah, it'd be really interesting to see who are the form players who will come through and perform well. But, you know, should be played in terrific conditions in what looks like a warming up summer as well. So it'll be, hugely interesting to see who comes out on top.
Johnny Gray, let's come back to you now. I understand that Clive Lloyd is an ambassador. Any former West Indies greats going up to maybe try to inspire the cricketers in any way at all?
Yeah, we've got a number of our West Indies legends working for us over the World Cup. And you're right to say that Sir Clive is certainly going to be one of them. We're still firming up all the plans and dates, but there's going to be a number of former West Indies players that will be working with us, looking after and entertaining our sponsors in various hospitality locations and doing some media and PR and also, where appropriate, under the close control of spending some time with the players. So Yeah, look, I think you know, the legends are such an important part of our cricket, such a part of our history, and it's great to have them involved off the field in this World Cup too.
Okay, just before you go, Johnny, we're just on the line. Let's come back to Johnny Baran now. Johnny, England versus South Africa, advantage South Africa. Just kidding.
Look, I think England has got a great chance of getting off to a really strong start of the tournament. I mean, I'm looking forward. I mean, I'll I'm one of the ICC presenters for the tournament, and I've got two West Indies games which I'm really looking forward to. So I'm the presenter with alongside one of the ICC ambassadors. So I'll be there for West Indies England in Hampshire. And I've also got West and East Africa, so I'll be especially interested in those two contests again between the West Indies and those sides, just because I'll be there, and I'm really looking forward.
Indeed. Okay, Johnny Baran, thanks very much for coming through and talking to us, and we wish you a very good night. Johnny Grave, my final question to you, just before you go off to bed. I imagine it's pretty close to midnight there. Maybe it's gone past midnight. Quickly, any word on the itinerary in relation to India?
Yeah, we've agreed the itinerary now with the BCCI. We're just working out the final details with the venues that we're going to recommend to the board on the next directors meeting, which is on the 8th and 9th of June in Antigua. So we're hoping to announce that we're commencing the I think it's the 10th of June. So that's when we hope to announce the tests, the ODIs and the T20s. So massive tour for us, first test in the World Test Championship.
Right.
And, hopefully we can go in there having had, you know, a brilliant performance in the World Cup, making the region, you know, really proud of this team.
Mm-hmm. But you can confirm that there are going to be two test matches. That's what I'm hearing. Is that correct? Two test matches?
Yeah, the tour's going to start with three T20 internationals and then have three one-day internationals, followed by two tests, and those two tests are the first that we will play and India will play in the new World Test Championship, the two-year league structure that the ICC put in place, that starts for us against India and for England and Australia in the Ashes, both series taking place immediately after this Cricket World Cup.
I see. Final question, Johnny Grave. Quickly, can you update us in relation to Courtney Brown and LD Baptiste? Has it gone to the Industrial Court in Antigua yet?
I believe the latest is they've submitted information to the Labour Court, and we wait to hear back from that.
And have you heard from Ralph Thorne QC in relation to Vasper Drakes?
No, not recently, no.
Ralph, I hope you're listening, because the West Indies Cricket Board are waiting on your letter. Well, Johnny, I want to thank you very much for coming through and talking to us. We'll certainly speak to you again. And hopefully when we speak to you again, the West Indies will be in the semi-finals.
I very much hope so, Andrew.
Okay, thanks very much indeed, Johnny Grave, the CEO of Cricket West Indies. And we also had another Johnny as well, Johnny Baran. What an interesting discussion we had there. Not a lot he said at the end there, Philo, in relation to Courtney Brown and Eldeen Baptiste. And he said he hasn't heard from Ralph Thorne QC in relation to Vasper Drakes. I'll certainly give Mr. Thorne, who must be somewhere in Christchurch South, with his constituency a little bit later on. But of course, we're going to pause for our business calls. When we come back, we're going to make another connection. Mason and Guest is brought to you in association with our very good friends at Bob and Stoffrey, promoting youth sport and culture.
When the double draw, you're playing with the mega ball, a triple, and you can triple your winnings. Just for one more dollar, you can play from a spot one right up.
It's going to be a lonely Christmas without brother Lennon Kim.
For the first game against Pakistan, it should really, really be of great interest. And someone sent me a WhatsApp just so and asked me, and I'm going to throw the question to you, is Would you make Darren Bravo an automatic starter? Philo?
Yeah, I would make him an automatic starter.
Despite the fact that he hasn't done a lot.
No, I have to.
You're okay, fine. Yeah, Dr. Ford, would you?
Well, the only five specialists that. and Puran is on the fringes of that. So,
okay.
So it's automatic, so unless there's injury.
Mm.
But the team virtually picks itself based on what we've seen earlier. From the lineup today and the previous games, you know, Chris Gayle and Evan Lewis, Shea Hope's been number three for the whole warm-up period, Darren Bravo four, Hetmeyer at five. Jason has been coming in at six also for that whole period, so we know that he's at number six. The other sure starters, barring injury, would be Andre Russell and Ashley Nurse. Also, Kemar Roach will start for sure, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
The only question is, do you go in with another bowler or do you go with Puran? I think they'll go for the bowling. Puran hasn't really contributed with the bat in any significant way. And, you know, this is a World Cup where runs can win you a match, but good bowling will win you more matches than runs. Because wickets will be at a premium. So that's where the other bowler will come in. Thomas has been expensive. He's inexperienced. Cottrell was good in the West Indies, even though he's been quite decent over there. Gabriel, we're not sure about Gabriel. So it will be between Cottrell and Gabriel for the other spot, generally. But, of course, there will be variations.
Okay, just before you give us your team, Phil, I know you're very keen to do it. Let's make another connection and go to Trinidad and Tobago and talk to the legendary Derek Murray. Derek Murray, how are you this evening, sir?
Hi, Andrew. Thank you very much for calling. And I'm looking forward to speaking with you. And good evening to all your viewers and listeners.
All right. Thank you very much indeed for that. Today, in terms of the performance by the West Indies, that must inspire you. A whopping 421 runs against New Zealand, New Zealand making 330, and the West Indies won by 91 runs. You must be quite happy about that, Derek.
Well, you're always happy with a West Indies victory, so you just hope that they can do this all the time. But the facts don't show that. But it's a good performance, and it's great to go into the tournament proper with a victory like that under your belt.
Now, do you have any concerns at all, Derek Murray, as we look forward to the first match on Friday against Pakistan?
Well, I have concerns about all the games that we have to play because in my overall estimation, Andrew, the West Indies would be what I would consider a 50-50 team.
Okay.
You know, in every game we go into, we can have a performance like did today, or we can have a performance at the other end of the scale. And the history over the last few years show that we win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game. What we have to do going into this tournament is see how we can control that and try to make it a two-stage affair. One, where we're looking to qualify for the semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
And in my estimation, we have nine games to play.
Right.
If we win five of those games, we should qualify.
Yes.
Right? So I am looking at it like that and saying, look, let's don't over-glamorize the situation. Let's don't think we're going to play 11 games to win the tournament and play all 11 like we did today.
Mm-hmm.
History doesn't show we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. So let's go into each game, be it Pakistan, be it Afghanistan, whoever we play, we're going to play to try and win this game. Accepting that we're going to win some, lose some. But I want to go into the last game against Afghanistan, having won five games already, and we're going to qualify for the semifinals. So we look at our strengths and say, okay, how can we win those five games? And, you know, plan for each team individually. And here we're going to look at it as though, okay, I suppose in the bookmaker's eyes, they're going to make England and India the two favourites. And then you're going to have a group of teams, Pakistan, New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, who are going to have a chance. And then some of the others who, you know, you think, well, okay, maybe Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, Afghanistan won't win the tournament, but they're capable of beating anybody. Mm-hmm. So West Indies, to me, have to go out and say, listen, our strength is we got to bowl teams out, whether we bowling first or bowling second. Mm-hmm. Our aim is to bowl the team out. That's how we're going to restrict them scoring runs. What's our strength? You know, let's go there and set field to bowl teams out. And batting, we just bat like that all the time, other than probably Hope and Bravo. All our batsmen go out and play expansive shots, and, you know, they're either going to score very quickly, get good scores, or they're going to get out. You know, we're not a team that's going to bat our way out of trouble unless it's going to be Hope and Bravo. Bravo hasn't really shown any form at the moment, but, you know, he's a class player, so hopefully they will, you know, do their job. But, you know, it, as I say, it's 50-50. Once we get into the semi-final, I think we're going to be the team that everybody fears at that stage of the tournament. So that's where we come into our own and have a good chance of winning, but we first got to qualify.
Indeed. Now let's talk, of course, Derek, about your own performances as well. I mean, you know about winning 1975. You remember there 1979 as well. And maybe you can tell our listeners this evening why you believe that when the West Indies, you know, won the first two World Cups, what was the formula for winning?
I think just as I said, we played to our strengths. We knew what we had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Each player, you know, performed at a different stage of the tournament. It wasn't left to one or two people to carry the thing. We looked at it from the point of view that you don't know what each game, what each wicket is going to do in those days. You're playing against the opposition. It's a fairly new format for all of us. 60 overs it was at the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have, during that length of time, you're going to have to play what we would call one day cricket with a few expansive shots, etc. But there are going to be times when you have to play quietly, pick up ones and twos and build a score, build an inning, and really make the most of your opportunities in terms of batting to get to the most runs, use all the 60 overs, not just hit fours and sixes. And in those days, to remember that when we played on the test match ground in England, you played on the entire ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were no boundaries brought into 60 meters or anything. So you played the whole ground. There were times that say Edge Baston, I remember, Andy Robertson, myself, running four.
Right.
And we were the real sprinters in the team. So, mm-hmm. you know you're playing in the whole expanse of the team. So it's really just backing yourself to do what you have to do and playing good cricket, sensible cricket, sticking to your plan. And when the plan didn't go according to how you wanted, then you had to fall back onto plan B.
Hi, Derek. Good evening, fellow Wallace. So nice to hear you.
Hey, fellow. How are you doing?
I'm very well. At what stage during those two World Cups, 75 and 79, that West Indies thought they were going to win?
Good question.
Twice. Once at the very start of the tournament, you know, we felt, look, we good, we respect that we have the strength to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think, secondly, we got into a very tight situation against Pakistan in what was a virtual quarterfinal.
Mm-hmm.
And once we won that, I think we had proven to ourselves in one-day cricket we could play, the exciting, exotic kind of cricket that people expected from the West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were under pressure, we could play, the hard, gruff cricket, where you get ones and twos and win the game.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now, Derek, are you going up for the World Cup?
I may be in England for a little bit of the time here, yeah, but not the whole thing. So I'm hoping to be there for a couple of days.
And of course, you'll be there to support the West Indies. You'll be there and go and watch some of the West Indies play, of course.
No, of course. I mean, whatever concerns one has, I'm a diehard 100% West Indian supporter. There's no other team I can support.
Right. Well, we want to thank you very much indeed for coming through and talking to us. Derek, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Same to you. It's a pity I can't hear you for the rest of the show, but I'm sure it'd be a very interesting show because, of course, now it's the excitement building for the World Cup, and we all can't wait for the first ball.
Right. Okay. Right. Thank you very much indeed. All right. So there you have it. Talking to us from Trinidad and Tobago, Derek Murray. Philo, you've got your 11 there? I know you're making some.
Yeah, noise. Well, Andrew, this is my 11. Gail Lewis, Hope, Bravo, Hetmar, Holder, Russell, Nurse, Cottrell, Roach. Mm-hmm. My 11th man
is?
I'm sure you guys. Carlos Buffett. I think he's going to pick Thomas and Allen.
Okay, interesting.
Because we're playing against Pakistan.
Let me get that team again, Philo.
Gail Lewis,
Hope.
Bravo, Hetmar,
right.
Holder, Russell, Nurse, Cottrell, Roach,
right.
Bradford. If Bradford is not, if Bradford doesn't play, obviously I think they're going to go for Sheldon, for Gear, but we don't know what's happening with him.
Right.
But Thomas is very expensive, so I don't think you want to take him.
Mm-hmm.
And Knox is a pretty flat wicket. You need variation.
Mm-hmm.
And Allen, the spinner,
mm-hmm.
is not as potent as we expect him to be.
Right.
So I would think that Carlos Bradford can nip in there for that 11th spot.
Well, I had a dream, and I want to share my dream with the next contributor to this program from St. John's. No, not St. John's, Antigua. Maybe he was there today, Sir Andy Roberts. Andy, I dreamt last night that the West Indies won the World Cup 2019. Did you have that dream as well, Sir Andy?
I didn't have that dream, but I hope your dream comes true.
Right. What would we have to do to win the World Cup, Sandy? Good evening to you.
Play good cricket.
Right. Could you explain?
You can't win it. You cannot win it if you don't play good cricket.
Now, as a build-up to the World Cup, are you happy with the West Indies as they prepare for the first game against Pakistan on Friday, Sandy?
Not too happy. Not because we won today and we score a lot of runs today, but I'm still, having worries about our bowling attack in terms of be able to defend the total.
Mm-hmm. What are your concerns, Andy?
I don't think that we have too many containing bowlers, and you need to have containing bowlers, because if you don't,
mm-hmm.
if you don't stop the flow of runs, you're not going to win.
So Andy, so what do you think, Philo Wallace? Good evening. What do you think
good
that
evening,
our
Bill.
Bowlers need to do, particularly our fast bowlers,
mm-hmm.
to obviously be more containing, because our slow bowlers certainly are not holding, are not containing as we expect. So what do our fast bowlers have to do in order to contain? What message would you say to them?
Yeah, they need to be more consistent in line and length, and the odd variety. It's no point you're bowling, you're getting hit on both sides of the wicket. So you got to choose the side of the wicket to be able to defend that side and bowl consistently to that side of the wicket.
No, Sandy, let's look at our bowlers. We got Cottrell today, 3 overs, no business, 1 for 16. Let's start with him. What do you think of Cottrell?
Well, if it's not swinging,
Right.
I'm afraid that he will have some problems because he's not. He looks, you know, he's run up and everything. He looks quick, but he's not that quick.
Right.
And the first game is at Notts, so let's take that into consideration.
Yes, at Notts, yes. What do you expect at Notts?
Well, it depends on the surface that they prepare at Notts, because at Notts, you know, I find even when we were playing county cricket, they could do what they want with the surface.
Oh, I see.
They could make it a seaming surface or they could make it a batting surface.
Mm. No,
seeing that England is not involved, it may be a seaming.
All right. Now, let's look at Jason Holder. We're coming on to the balls. What do you think of him?
Jason Holder is good for the first five. I think throughout his career, he has a problem, you know, finishing at the end.
Oh.
And I think that is part of our problem. We don't have any bowlers who you could look upon to say to finish the innings.
Akeem Arouche?
I would bowl Akeem Arouche's first 10.
Why would you do that?
Because
why?
He has a problem. He has a problem throughout coming back at the end.
Oh, I see. So you're going for the first. Okay, okay. What about O'Shane Thomas?
quick.
So you're saying
if you can get him to bowl to one side, you know, with his pace and defend that side.
Right.
You know, with his pace, he should not be getting clobbered over mid wicket.
Right.
And over mid on.
But that's not pace.
Not with that pace. He should be able to bowl if
right.
he gets pulled.
Mm-hmm.
Or hooked and or cut, but not get hit over mid wicket in cow corner.
Well, he bowled 6 overs, though, but it's 1 for 66 today, Sandy. In fact, he was the most expensive.
Well, let's hope that his blows for the tournament.
Right. What about Carlos Brathwaite?
Oh Lord, Carlos Brathwaite have to learn to grip the ball with his hand and not keeping off that finger off the ball. I think that's probably one of Carlos's problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't put enough in the grip. Just watch Carlos Brathwaite running up and see if his small and the other fingers are not relatively off the ball.
Oh, I see. 9 overs, no better than 3 for 75. He went to 8.33 today, Sir Andy.
Well, as I said, that the problem is that they haven't learned to contain batsmen, restrict the boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Shannon Gabriel?
Is he fit?
Well, that's a good question, Philo.
It's
a question mark, yeah. Now let's come to the spinners, Sandy. Your favorite spinner, Fabian Allen.
Has he ever bowled 10 overs in an ODI?
Well,
See, you've got to look at these things, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, all even the warm-up games that you play, he never bowled 10.
Right, and that's true. Yes.
So you're playing somebody
mm-hmm.
who can't give you 10 overs, and he's playing as a bowler.
Yeah. Ashley Nurse?
Ashley, he's one who's been taking wickets. You know, but he leaks a lot of boundaries too.
I see.
I think Ashley has got to learn to get that ball right up in the block hole if he's going to, you know, restrict the scoring.
Right. Now, let's turn our attention quickly, Sandy, to the batting. Any concerns? Darren Bravo hasn't made a lot of runs. What's his problem?
Well, I've always have concern with the batting.
Right.
You know, and we got to hope that we can still rely on hope.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Chris Gayle, you know, we don't know what we're going to get on the day, but if he's having some good days,
right,
it may, you know, he may produce a lot of runs.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Evan Lewis.
Right.
And I think the Pakistan bowling for the first game will be a lot different to the New Zealand. Plus,
right.
New Zealand didn't play their full strength bowling attack.
That's true. That's very true. What's the problem, you think, Sir Andy, with Darren Bravo? He's not making a run.
Well, it's time for him to do that because he's playing a one of five batsmen.
Yes, yes.
It's time for him to get some runs. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that the selectors should have taken into account, that even when he came back in the Test series, the amount of time he spends at the wicket without scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Even the one-day games that he played, I think he had one or two, solid games. I wouldn't say great games, but some solid games when he played against England.
Mm-hmm.
Shamar, and, you can't rely on that.
No, Shamar Atmar?
Well, once he can get his head on, you know, if my scoring quickly, it has never been a problem.
Right.
It's how long and how selective that he could be while at the crease.
Mm-hmm. Nicolas Pooran?
Nicolas Pooran is one of those, if he, on his day,
right.
You know, he can take Kieran O'Tuck apart, but we can't go into a World Cup to say that on his day.
No,
he has to be more consistent.
Let's come now to a very interesting cricketer, in Andrew Russell. 54 today, 25 balls, terms of 4-7, and he hit 3 sixes as well. Strike rate of 216.
That has always been Andrew's strong point. Once he stays at the crease, you know he's going to score.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is if the pitch is seeming, it may not be good for hitting. But my concern with Andre is if he can give me 5 overs.
Yeah. That's an interesting one, though.
5 overs between Andre Russell and somebody else.
Do you think he'll go, Philip?
I would prefer to share that 5 overs between Andre Russell and Chris Gayle than Andre Russell and Fabian Allen.
I think that the coaching staff needs to work out how many overs they expect him to bowl in every game that he plays.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you give him a minimum of 5, well, then you're looking for him to bowl 5 good overs.
Right.
And then will he be bowling those 5 overs? Will he bowl those 5 overs in the middle or just after the power plays at the top of the innings? So they have to work that out because certainly you're not going to get 10. So you need, and as you rightly said, sir, you need to find somebody else who can bowl the other 5. And Gill is not a bad spinner.
Right.
He might not be mobile, but I think that Gayle has the common sense and the control
and the
to get the ball. Yes, and the experience to get the ball in the right area to restrict batsmen. And I think that we should expect Chris Gayle to do a bit of bowling in this World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sandy, my final question to you: can we win this? Can we win the World Cup?
Are we taking part in the finals?
You tell me, Sandy.
But we are taking part in the finals. There are 10 teams there.
Right.
And one of the 10 is going to win it.
Right.
So that we have as good a chance of starting on Friday as any team in the competition.
Right.
All I'm hoping is that we can play our best cricket on those days.
Well, Sandy, I want to thank you very much for coming through and talking to us. It's always a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right. So there you have it. Let's pause for business calls, then we're going to open the lines 4341790. Of course, if you're calling from overseas, 1246 in front, we're going to take your calls. As I said, if you've got an 11, we'll be only too happy to discuss it with you. Missing a Guest is brought to an association with our very good friends at Bobby's Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture. You can give us a call and participate in this program. Okay, let's go and take a call. Hello, welcome.
Hello,
hi.
Yeah, I'm feeling Russell batting too late. Hello.
You think Russell is batting too late? Why do you say that? Oh, that's an interesting one. Philo, as the expert here, would you bat Russell ahead of Holder?
No. I wouldn't bat Russell ahead of Holder. When you look at Jason would bring more balance and common sense to the bat. And I think Russell he's electric. And when he comes in with 15 overs to go,
right,
that is when he's most explosive. Sometimes when you push a guy up and you give him more time to play and pull him out of his comfort zone, he mm-hmm. doesn't perform. And I think that we have to manage Andre Russell well for, mm-hmm. for West Indies to get the best out of him. And so far, I think in these games, he's been doing reasonably well. We saw in a couple of games, he bowled a new ball as well.
Right.
So I think that what they're doing with him is trying to ease him into what they want him to do during the World Cup. And 54 from 25 balls, I think that is right up Andre Russell's street.
No. So this batting lineup here, as we look at it, Gale, Lewis, Hope at 3, no question about that. Bravo 4, Hetmyer 5, Holder 6.
Yeah, I think that is good. Russell 7.
Right.
Nurse 8.
Mm-hmm.
Cotterill 9. Well, I think Carlos Baffin will bat 9, Cotterill 10.
Right.
And Roach 11, or Roach 10, Cotterill 11.
Right. Okay. Let's go and take a call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome. Good night to you.
Hi, good afternoon, Andrew.
Hey, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, and to your guest.
Right.
Good night.
Now, Andrew,
mm-hmm.
last week you called out Mr. Strakers that you hope he was happy that you're getting some callers.
Right.
And I must say, yes, from the point of view of the callers, the program was lively last week,
mm-hmm.
and I enjoy it from that point of view.
Right.
But you know that getting the 9 that'd be hard.
Right.
And then I ask you, if Bravo had come out of retirement.
Right.
And when you get the vice president, you went and asked him whether Pollard is going to ease in the 15,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't ask him whether Bravo came out of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we had to take away.
Well, he actually has come out of retirement, and in fact, is making himself available for T20 for West Indies. And that news broke only today.
Yes, I saw that article in the paper this morning.
Right.
So you see, last week, we waste a lot of time
mm-hmm.
speculating
mm-hmm.
when somebody was definitely not available.
Right.
And now they still is not available because they say they're only looking at T20.
Well, interestingly enough, there was also an article last week that Bravo came out and said that maybe someone was blocking him coming back into the side. Did you see that?
Mr. Mason.
Did you see that?
The first thing before you can get blocked, and that you've got to be available. So
right.
Do not pull shark with me, Mr. Mason.
Well, he might have written to the board indicating that he's actually available. Hold on a minute, but that might not have been made public.
No, I don't want this might have, and then a close the garden seat.
ready for it.